Well, it was my intention as we started looking at this day, this Youth Sunday, it was my intention to honor our young, to let them know and to remind ourselves how important they are and how much they, for many of us, represent love and expression, I believe. My own story was that I had been married for 4 years, I guess, before I finally got pregnant. I, you know, tried, and finally I got the news that I was going to have a baby. And I still remember how excited I was. It was amazing, just amazing. My baby is now 40. Just a couple years ago, a couple weeks ago, he turned 40. But it doesn't change. I still look at him. I now have a picture hanging in my hall of him and his wife, you know, when they got married, and it's still, oh yes, I just still remember and feel that love that I have for him, that comes, just, it just comes up, it just is. I think that children are love and expression. Along with Mitzi's song, and we hadn't talked about this before, but I found a wonderful reading that I'd like to share with you about doing it wrong. It's titled, As I Watch You Sleep. My precious child, I have slipped into your room to sit with you as you sleep and watch the rise and fall of your breath for a while. Your eyes are peacefully closed and your soft blonde curls frame your cherubic face. Just moments ago, as I sat with my paperwork in the den, a mounting sadness came over me while I contemplated the day's events. I could no longer keep my attention on my work, so I have come to talk to you in the silence as you rest. In the morning, I was impatient with you as you dawdled and dressed slowly, telling you to stop being such a slowpoke. I scolded you for misplacing your lunch ticket, and I capped off breakfast with a disapproving look as you spilled food on your shirt. Again, I sighed and shook my head. You just smiled sheepishly at me and said, "Bye, Mommy." In the afternoon, I made phone calls while you played in your room, singing aloud and gesturing to yourself with all your toys lined up in jovial rows on the bed. I motioned irritably to you to be quiet, stop all the racket, and then proceeded to spend another busy hour on the phone. "Get your homework done right now," I later rattled off like a sergeant, "and stop wasting so much time." "Okay, Mom," you said remorsefully, sitting up straight at your desk with pencil in hand. After that, it was quiet in your room. In the evening, as I worked at my desk, you approached me hesitantly. "Will we read a story tonight, Mom?" you asked with a glimmer of hope. "Not tonight," I said abruptly. "Your room is still a mess. How many times will I have to remind you?" You wandered off in a shuffle with your head down and headed for your room. Before long, you were back, peering around the edge of the door. "Now what do you want?" I asked in an agitated tone of voice. You didn't say a word. You just came bounding in the room, threw your arms around my neck, and kissed me on the cheek. "Good night, Mommy. I love you," was all you said as you squeezed tightly. And then, as swiftly as you had appeared, you were gone. After that, I sat with my eyes fixed on my desk for a long time, feeling a wave of remorse come over me. At what point did I lose the rhythm of the day, I wondered, and at what cost? You hadn't done anything to evoke my mood. You were just being a child, busy about the task of growing and learning. I got lost today in an adult world of responsibilities and demands and had little energy left to give to you. You became my teacher today, with your unrestrained urge to rush in and kiss me goodnight, even after an arduous day of tiptoeing around my moods. And now, as I see you lying fast asleep, I yearn for the day to start all over again. Tomorrow I will treat myself with as much understanding as you have shown me today, so that I can be a real mom, offering a warm smile when you awaken, a word of encouragement after school, and an animated story before bed. I will laugh when you laugh, cry when you cry, I will remind myself that you are a child, not a grown-up, and I will enjoy being your mom. Your resilient spirit has touched me today, and so I come to you in this late hour to thank you, my child, my teacher, and my friend, for the gift of your love. We're going to have kind of a series of testimonials from several people, four actually, and we'll talk some more about love and expression.
Good morning. My name is Jennifer Lazo. I just recently became a member, an official member. I've been coming for years, but I recently became a member, and I'm so glad and honored that Reverend Alman asked me to, thank you, to give a speech about children being an expression of love and my testimony of my personal experience being a mother of a 17-year-old that's about to be 18. And it's been a journey. It's been a learning experience. I'm sorry, I had to write everything down or I'd forget. These years have gone by pretty quick. And I realized that, you know, she is on loan from Heavenly Father. And I know that it's my privilege as well as hers. We both have things to teach each other and to learn from one another. But she has been a gift as far as complete expression of love, especially in times of trials and tribulations. She's been my comic relief at times and my pain as well as my pleasure. But she has taught me so much, especially about putting someone else's needs before my own and unconditional love and being unselfish. And she is teaching me at this moment to let go and learn to be unattached, because, you know, it's just a fact of life. We're all not in each other's lives forever and ever. She's been a sweet spirit, though, in teaching me those things, and I've learned that, you know, she is love, God is love, and love is God, so it's all circular. It all, you know, it all comes back to love. And I'm not trying to compare myself in any way to Heavenly Father, but it reminds me of His love for each of us, because we are His children. So I think to myself, all the things that she's teaching me that I'm learning are things that God wants from each of us as far as love and how to love correctly. You know, His love, of course, is supreme and the ultimate, but we're all trying to get there, and we're all on the same, you know, destination, but on different paths and roads. And I feel that she has taught me patience, and in the letting go, I've learned patience more than anything, because I know ultimately that she has her own journey and road to take as well as I do, and we're in it together. We all are, and we're all trying. We're all where we're at individually. But we're getting there, and we're trying, and that's the main thing, is just to try. But to remember that, you know, God is love, and love is God, and even little children, I mean, they're straight from heaven, so they're earth angels, and we just need to remember that Jesus taught us all, we are all to be like children. So thank you all for your time.
Good morning. My name is Sarah Cora Jordan. And I was asked by Reverend Sharon to just kind of speak about love and expression coming from my children. My story is I have two biological children. I have five grandchildren. I have two great-grandchildren. I have 10 stepchildren, and three of those stepchildren I have raised in the last 14 years, and it's been a journey. during the nurturing and the guiding, the protecting and parenting of all my children, love and expression has been and is now love and expression. It's a constant. I have been given the joy of lots of love, kisses, smiles, singing, playing, hugs, laughter, reaching milestones, sharing of experiences, acts and words of kindness. And as the children grow and mature, they continue these expressions of love with various ones, with their friends. I see their friends and the friends' families, and as they move along in life, they go to and fro with their ups and downs, in schools, with associates, with their peers, with teachers, with coworkers, with just a myriad of people. There's laughter, there's joy, handshakes, and just many, many emotions, cries. The compassion comes through as we all interact. They have relationships, they marry, they laugh, they cry and cry. They joke around, show happiness, compassion. They respect each other, they respect themselves. All of this is done in the name of love. I see my children guiding, protecting, and parenting their children as they have been guided, directed, and parented. Love has a giving nature. However, love is as much receiving love as it is giving love. I know, and I think, and I know you all know, that God is love. Some of you may have remembered this story, and I just recently saw the story, love story. I'm sure it's a tearjerker. One thing that came out of that I'll always remember, and I've seen these words before, and they're words to think about, to ponder, and they are, love is never having to say you're sorry. Something to think about. Thank you.
Okay, so given the chance to talk about children, you know the topic's going to be Katie, right? Katie, the youngest of the grandchildren. They're all special and they're all wonderful, right? But there's something about Katie that even the other grandkids know is just, you know, there's a spark there, a twinkle. So the joy for me, though, is watching Katie go through the world in all of her 5 years, right? Knowing, I mean, she gets it here and in her heart, everywhere. She knows she's a child of God and loved and treasured and valued, and it is a joy to watch her. It truly is. Well, Christmases in my son's household is a little more secular than Grandma here would like them to be. So a few years ago, I took it upon myself to very gently introduce a nativity set into the family Christmas. They were okay with it. And they were the set that I got for them was these clunky sort of hand-carved figures. So in other words, they weren't fragile. They were kid-friendly. And so I was sitting on the living room floor with Danny and Katie. I think at the time they were 5 and 3, kind of trying to go through the nativity story thing. And, of course, Danny, boy that he is, saw the figure with wings and, you know, was doing a vroom, vroom thing. And Katie noticed the wire halo above the angel's head. And she said, Grandma, what is that? So instantly I thought, how do you explain halo to a three-year-old? And I said, well, Katie, it's a halo, and it just tells you that when you see that above someone's head, you know you're looking at someone very special. And she sat real quiet for about 30 seconds, and she said, I got to get one of those. So the other charm factor for me with Katie is that she is the spitting image of her daddy when he was a little boy. That'll melt a mother's heart to relive that all over again. And I used to sing, when my sons were little, I used to sing almost every night, You Are My Sunshine, to them. You know, you are my sunshine, my only sunshine. Okay. And, of course, with boys, that doesn't, you know, you can't get away with that too many years, you know. It's like, okay, Mom, night. So it was a lot of years went by that I didn't really think about that too very much. And recently, well, yeah, maybe a year or so ago, we were babysitting, which we do quite frequently with Danny and Katie. And I went in to tuck Katie in bed. Well, of course, I was second string because Papa walks on water where Katie's concerned, so I had to go in after the official tucking in was done. And she said, Grandma, can you sing me a song? And I said, sure. So out of the recesses from somewhere came, You Are My Sunshine, My Only Sunshine. And her eyes got this big around, and she said, how do you know that song? She says, my daddy sings that to me all the time. And the next thing she says was, Grandma, why are you crying? But we never know, you know, whether we're talking about children or anybody else that we deal with, we really don't ever know how what we do or what we say touches them. We never find that out. And so through the innocence of a child, that perfect expression of love comes through, and it is a gift.
I have to follow that. So when she asked me to speak, I didn't know that it was supposed to be from a mother's perspective. I did it as a daughter, and I thought about my mom. And from a speaker, someone said, love is like water, and we are all the fish swimming in water because it's all around us. And so that's what I think about when I first think about love. So my mom is also a youth director. When I was growing up, she was the YOU director and very active with her children, myself and my two brothers and sister. So she was very supportive, loving, of course, spiritual. I don't know, I just, when I think about love and expression, I just think about my mom. Whenever we would drive by an accident, if we were in the car, if we drove by an accident, she would always say the prayer of protection, and everyone in the car had to say the prayer of protection and just pray for the people who were in the accident that God is with them and everything is fine. When I graduated with my master's, I told, you know, my parents, I was like, oh, it's okay, it's no big deal. You already came to my graduation for when I got my bachelor's, don't worry about it. And they were like, No, my mom was like, no, we're coming. We're celebrating you. And I was like, okay, you know. When I found out that I was pregnant while I was in college, I was 19. And, you know, of course, first thing I thought of, oh, my God, how am I going to tell this to my mom? You know, my mom is very supportive of me, my education, and, oh, my God, you know. And she had a feeling that something was going on with me, and You know, she talked, it was over the phone because I was in Columbia at Mizzou and she's in Joplin, Missouri. And she already knew something was going on, but I, you know how moms, they know everything. But so when I told her, you know, she said, well, you know, with the choices that you have made, you have to make a decision. And is this what you want to do? And you still need to graduate. You still have to keep on. And, you know, and of course, I still love you. So I don't know why you are so worried about telling me I'm still your mom and I still love you. So I think that really pushed me to keep going, stay at school, graduate, and still, you know, get my degree. So I guess the main thing is just that, you know, moms are just love you unconditionally. And God loves you unconditionally. And no matter what you do or don't do, God's still going to love you. And your mom's still going to love you. But she was just my love and expression. And I just want to end with Kirk Franklin. He has this radio show. And at the end of every show, he says, I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Wow, some amazing moms. I'm impressed with the stories. I'm impressed with the level of love that I have heard and felt. So thank you all for sharing and making this special. There is another story that I think we'll use to close this. It's called It Will Change Your Life. Time is running out for my friend. We are sitting at lunch when she casually mentions that she and her husband are thinking of starting a family. What she means is that her biological clock has begun its countdown, and she is being forced to consider the prospect of motherhood. We're taking a survey, she says half jokingly. Do you think I should have a baby? It will change your life, I say carefully, keeping my tone neutral. I know, she says. No more sleeping in on Saturdays, no more spontaneous vacations. But that is not what I mean at all. I look at my friend, trying to decide what to tell her. I want to tell her that what she will never learn in childbirth classes. I want to tell her that the physical wounds of childbearing heal, but that becoming a mother will leave her with an emotional wound so raw that she will be forever vulnerable. I consider warning her that she will never read a newspaper again without asking, what if that had been my child? That every plane crash, every fire will haunt her. That when she sees pictures of starving children, she will wonder if anything could be worse than watching your child die. I look at her carefully manicured nails and stylish suit and think that no matter how sophisticated she is, becoming a mother will reduce her to the primitive level of a bear protecting her cub. That an urgent call of mom will cause her to drop a souffle or her best crystal without a moment's hesitation. I feel that I should warn her that no matter how many years she has invested in her career, she will be professionally derailed by motherhood. She might arrange for childcare, but one day she will think about her baby's sweet smell. She will have to use every ounce of discipline to keep from running home just to make sure her child is all right. I want my friend to know that everyday decisions will no longer be routine. That a five-year-old boy's desire to go to the men's room rather than a women's at McDonald's will become a major dilemma. That right there in the midst of clattering trays and screaming children, issues of independence and gender identity will be weighed against the prospect that a child molester may be lurking in the restroom. However decisive she may be at the office, she will second-guess herself constantly as a mother. Looking at my attractive friend, I want to assure her that eventually she will shed the pounds of pregnancy, but she will never feel the same about herself. That her life now so important will be of less value to her once she has a child, that she would give it up in a moment to save her offspring, but will also begin to hope for more years, not to accomplish her own dreams, but to watch her child accomplish his. I want her to know that a Caesarean scar or shiny stretch mark will become badges of honor. My friend's relationship with her husband will change, but not in the ways that she thinks. I wish she could understand how much more you can love a man who is always careful to powder the baby, or who never hesitates to play with his son or daughter. I think she should know that she will fall in love with her husband again for reasons she would now find very unromantic. I wish my friend could sense the bond she will feel with women throughout history who have tried desperately to stop war and prejudice and drunk driving. I hope she will understand why I can think rationally about most issues, but become temporarily insane when I discuss the threat of nuclear war to my children's future. I want to describe to my friend the exhilaration of seeing your child learn to hit a baseball. I want to capture for her the belly laugh of a baby who is touching the soft fur of a dog for the first time. I want her to taste the joy that is so real it hurts. My friend's quizzical look makes me realize that tears have formed in my eyes. "You'll never regret it," I say finally. Then I reach across the table, squeeze my friend's hand, and offer a prayer for her and me and all of the mere mortal women who stumble their way into this holiest of callings. Becoming a parent, becoming a mother, I think is the thing that has most brought love into my life, that has anchored it for me, that has given, really and truly given purpose to my life. I am forever grateful to be a parent, a mom, and I am very grateful for children and for love and expression. God bless you. And as we do each week, let's take a few moments to practice that love that we know is in each one of us and is especially true in children. So to prepare for this practice, let's just become still, still in body and still in mind. If you haven't already, I invite you to gently close your outer eyes. We begin by just taking a deep breath in, holding it for a moment, and then releasing. As we continue to breathe deeply and slowly, we find our bodies relaxing. As we breathe, we come to realize and to know that we are here, we are safe, we are surrounded by love, we are surrounded and infused with love. It is here, both within and without. Each and every one of us in this room is, in fact, love in expression. We see it so easily in our children, in our grandchildren, in our students. And as we see it in these young people, it becomes easier to see it in our adult friends and family members. When we consider this love that is the truth of our very being, the truth of our nature, sometimes we can't help but smile. We can feel that joy that is within just sort of bubble up and overflow, just as when we watch a beloved child laughing. This love that we feel We imagine that it is in the center of our bodies for a moment. And we feel it most often, I think, in the vicinity of our hearts. Sometimes we hear the expression, our heart center. And for me, that's where the sensation begins. And it is a physical sensation. I heard the phrase, heart swell, and that seems to most accurately describe what happens for me. There's just a growing feeling in me, in my body, of love, of contentment, often gratitude, joy to be alive. So we now focus on that. Imagine that that love that is your true nature, that is within you, imagine that you just bring your attention inward and you find that place, that radiating center where the love resides and manifests from. As you put your attention on that place, that center, you can feel the love intensifying. And it grows. And it spreads throughout your entire body. You can almost feel your fingertips vibrating, tingling. You can feel a laugh wanting to emerge from your throat. It's joy. It's love and expression. There are many days like the first mother that we heard about, who was busy and irritable with her child. There are many days that we feel that way, that we forget about this love that is within us, that we get so caught up in the outer and the busyness and the deadlines and the schedules, that we forget the love, we forget the joy. But it is in these moments of silence, in these moments of connecting once again with that love, that we remember. And that we can remember that this is actually the priority. That when we have love, we are better able to move through life with the right priorities. We are better and more able to move with increased energy, and certainly increased peace and patience. Because as we express as love, we become that soothing, nurturing, supportive presence, not only for our children, but for everyone who we encounter. So we begin to realize that, yes, we see love and expression when we look at our young ones, our youth. We feel love and expression when we watch, observe our children, our grandchildren playing. But we especially remember that we are love and expression every time we remember this truth. Love is who and what we are. We have the choice to express it. And so as we do each week, we set aside some time for silent reflection, for allowing ourselves to just be, to just be. So for this moment, let us know that we are love. Let us know that we are love and expression when we choose in the world. And let us be love in the silence. Many times when we take time like this to be silent, to contemplate good, to contemplate God, to contemplate love, we find ourselves renewed. We find ourselves re-energized. We find ourselves open and receptive, willing to be that expression in the world. Willing to remember that we are never alone. And so, we are grateful. We are grateful not only that we were created in love and as love, but we are grateful for the awareness that this is true. Grateful for the knowledge that we can reconnect at any time, in any place that we so choose. Anytime we need a bit of comfort, a bit of support, some wisdom, some guidance, some peace, some love, we can once again become still and just focus on breath and become very still and focus on that love that is within, that is the truth of us. So as we begin to bring our attention and our awareness back to this time, back to this room, we bring with us a deep sense of gratitude. And we bring with us the awareness that we are love. We are love and expression. We close our time together as we do each week by affirming our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.